2 weeks back, started a reasonably short teaching on dominion and authority of the believer. And I know in the outline, a lot of things went out, and I know because Gary showed me his notes, and I said all of that? and it was quite a lot to throw out there and put out there for you to think about. And I don't know how many of you got a CD, because sometimes in the time that we have, I'm quite apt to do that, because I like to challenge us, because if we're not challenged, it's very difficult to grow from beyond where we are. And I don't ever want to make the mistake of, oh, we all know that stuff already, let's do something new. Well, every time I bring something, it's new to me. And this is new because I've not done this before. And so I have all of these things, and I want them to be kind of presented in a way that you can grasp them. And wherever you are in your understanding of such things as dominion, authority, glean from this, add to it so that you're able to expand the knowledge that you have. We're often reminded in the Word that we're to grow in knowledge. We don't have it all. We just don't. I don't. I have a piece of stuff, and you have other pieces, but He has all of it. And as He reveals to each one of us, we get a more complete picture. But this thing about dominion, you have to remember something as a born-again believer, that the dominion that Adam lost originally was given to him by God to rule over the things that God had created. Now that's an awesome responsibility. And we know that Adam, because of his disobedience to the Lord, he lost that dominion. He lost the right to govern the things that God had instructed him and enabled him, empowered him to do. And zipping all the way through forward in time, when Jesus went to the cross and God raised him from the dead, while he was in the bowels of the earth, he rose and said, I have the keys of hell, death, and the grave. And God said that he had given him a name which is above every name, in heaven, on the earth, and things under the earth. And so the dominion and rulership rests with Christ. And if you study Jesus' ministry, you will find that every time God manifested his kingdom in power and authority, he did it through Jesus Christ. Well, he's not here anymore in bodily form. He's here in you and I by his Spirit within each one of us. And because we're in Christ, dominion and authority has been given to the believer. So that, because even though we're his feet, if you will, or all things have been placed under his feet, and we are with him, we're part of his body, if God has already defeated all of the enemies that could ever come against him through Jesus being raised from the dead, we're part of that. We're part of the power of that resurrection. We are part of receiving the benefits of that. And when we hear words like we've been given dominion and authority, that means that that has been restored to Christ and his body. So you don't have to ask God for many of the things that he told us to do. When he said, lay hands on the sick, or cast out devils. Mark chapter 16, the Great Commission to the Church, the chapter that's not supposed to be in there that I read for 30 years and believed it. However, when it's, and I just want to use this as an example, when we pray for people with sickness and disease, we tend to do that from our perspective of the situation. But if you look at it from God's perspective, that happened at the cross. In other words, everyone, from God's perspective, the provision for healing was made when Jesus Christ went to the cross. He took all manner of sickness and disease upon himself. Therefore, when we pray, it's not asking God to heal somebody. I mean, you can if you like, and you're getting reasonable results with that. But add this to your portfolio of weapons. That's a good phrase. Add this. Okay? When you know the sickness, when you know the disease. I don't remember seeing Jesus pray for anyone for sickness and disease. Did you ever notice that in your study of the Gospels? What did he do? He spoke to it, didn't he? He spoke to it by its name. He spoke to a foul spirit. He spoke to spirits of infirmity. He spoke to the sickness. He spoke to the disease. He spoke to the mountain, "Be thou removed." And what did he tell us in Mark's Gospel? Speak to the mountain. What is the mountain? That's not asking God to remove the mountain. God gave you the authority. He gave you the dominion to speak to that mountain. What's the mountain in your life? How many years have you asked God to remove it, and God probably whispered in your ear and said, "Speak to it." This is a reminder. And maybe it might be new, a new concept of, and it's not prayer. It's using your dominion, exercising the authority and the dominion that God has given you. When I go to India, and I do it here too, if I know if you're battling an illness, the flu or a cold or something, I just always thank God, a prayer of thanksgiving. "Father, I thank you that you've already provided healing for this at the cross." And it's a reminder, so my prayer isn't begging and pleading with God to do something. My prayer of thanksgiving is I'm already honoring him for what he's already done and thanking him. So now I speak to the sickness. If it's the flu, I speak to the flu. That's not praying. That's using my dominion and authority as a believer. We speak to all kinds of things. We speak to cancer. We speak to, because these are known things. If you don't know what it is, then obviously there's a spiritual connection behind it. It didn't just come out of nowhere. It had its origin in the spiritual realm. There is a spirit behind it that wants to take us out. And if he can, he will. And sometimes we forget, or maybe we've not learned, or maybe we don't really believe it works. I used a demonstration 2 weeks ago about the mosquitoes at the golf course, but that was petty foolishness on my part. I was like a kid with a new toy box. I just found out that when I played with the toys, they worked. And I still do, and it still does. Bigger toys for bigger boys now. Now we're on to the grown-up things of the Lord and learning when you address sickness and disease. Speak to your flesh. Take authority over it. I use the thing about fasting. My stomach gets food when I decide it's going to get it, not when it says it wants it. And it takes practice. It takes discipline. It takes being diligent and being faithful to apply these truths every day, and you will start seeing things change that you never thought possible. Speak to circumstances that are not right in your workplaces. If you want to see a change, start speaking change. Start seeing things the way you want to see them from God's perspective. You want to see people change? Start speaking to the spirit that they're under the influence of and begin to bind it. To bind a spirit means to render it helpless for a season so that you have the opportunity maybe to sow a seed. But these are important things, because when we ask God to do those things, gosh, if I said here in this body, I'm appointing, well, like today, it's Faith, and Aaron's learning too, to put up the songs on the sheet. And I said, "Well, Faith, you're in charge of the songs today. You run the computer and bless the body," and I just leave it be. If she misses a phrase on the screen, don't look at me. She's in charge. Get it? Well, it's the same thing with spiritual matters. God says, "Don't look at me, you're in charge." Now, I want to take that a step further, because I don't want to wrongly present this in God is in control. A lot of bad things happen with that, if you just leave it at that, God is in control. Well, a lot of people have died. A lot of people have been hurt. A lot of people have had all kinds of calamities come to them because the person hasn't learned to exercise dominion and authority over a situation, and thinking that because God is in control, and then somebody dies and you say, oh, God's in control. Well, the evidence shows me that somehow the devil got in there and tried to kill somebody and was quite successful in doing it. Why? Because the church didn't take control. They didn't exercise dominion and authority. But God overall has put you in authority and in charge, but he's only in control where his church is in control. Did you ever see him usurp authority over Jesus? No, he was in control because Jesus spoke the word, he walked the word, he took what the Father gave him, and he put it into practice. And God was in control through Jesus' faith to exercise the authority that he had, and he's in control over your life when you exercise your faith and you speak to things. You exercise the dominion and authority that he's given you. That part he's in control of because he's put you there. As an example, there's a scripture in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, and it reads like this: the decision is announced by messengers. The holy ones declare the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes, and sets over them the lowliest of men. This is about the biblical concept of God's sovereignty and the believer's dominion. How does God show he's sovereign? He does it when his decision is announced by messengers, and when the Holy One declares the verdict, God works through those announcements and declarations of his people. That's really important. If God's messengers would not have announced God's verdict in this case, then God's power would not have been released to cause the results that he intended. Yet many people suppose God's sovereignty will be released apart from the announcements we make. This is not true. God uses our words to rule the world. Well, that's pretty awesome. He responds to our words through faith. And here's an example. If you don't like the life you're living, it's because you're speaking words contrary to what God says. If you want to see God's authority and sovereignty come to pass in your life, learn to begin to speak his words. He honors his word. You know that. You've read scriptures. He watches over his word to perform it. The trouble is, he's waiting for somebody to speak it. It doesn't happen by itself. He says you are blessed, healed, victorious, a world overcomer, but you're confessing, nothing ever works out for me. How can you expect God to show his power and sovereignty and lordship and dominion and authority if we go around speaking things contrary to what God has already said about us? It's like this. They don't mix. It doesn't work. I wonder why God hasn't healed me. Why do I seem so defeated? Why can't I overcome this problem? Your words stop God's announcements of your victory in Christ. You shut him out from ruling your life. I've said that before, but kind of in a different way perhaps, but this is really point blank, and it really speaks to the issue about dominion and authority. Again, some people have heard so much criticism and positive confession that they honestly think by confessing God's word, we are trying to twist God's arm into giving us what we want. See, that's the misunderstanding of the dominion teaching. People misunderstand because perhaps we've set bad examples sometimes and we're not consistent. But this is really not what this teaching is about. That's very far from what it's about. The fact is, when you do not confess word, you keep him out of your life. You stop his power from working. The confession of God's word is God's means of ruling in you. And when we say that he rules when we speak his word. It's just like you rule in your house when you speak your word. You're in authority when you speak. Well, God's in authority when he speaks, but he speaks through his people. Then we need to be spokespeople for the word of God. And when we speak it, that's how he rules. That's how he's in control. It's kind of a parallel, but yet it really works. I really like this truth, because we've learned a lot about our words before, and maybe we didn't make the connection about the dominion and authority of it. Well, here's an example. When you know, I'll go back to my last page of notes here, when you know that you've been given the pattern from Jesus himself, it'll be really helpful. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Oh, how many times have you read that verse? If he already confessed with his own mouth that his church, his followers, the believers, would do greater things than he did, and he's going to the Father, that tells me that he began a ministry, but he never finished it. We're the finishing part of that. He set the example. The believer can do the miracles Jesus did and even greater than those seen through him. Now, I know that's hard to comprehend. That's hard for us because we're thinking from our mind approach, our intellectual approach, but think of it from God's perspective. I've said it before, but the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is dwelling in each one of us. How often do we put it into practice? We need it every time to control our mouths when we get angry with somebody. Without the keeping power of the Holy Spirit, wow, the things that can come out of our mouths. I'm guilty too. I'm no different than you guys. You know, we all have to live by the same rule book. It works for all of us. If we'll make it work, it'll just work. And so we come down to this thing, the believer can do the miracles he did. Since Jesus gave his power and authority, we simply have to look at what areas he showed dominion over. He showed dominion over nature. Mark 4:39. Remember when he was in the boat and a storm came up on the Sea of Galilee. And what did he do? The disciples were in the boat freaking out. And Jesus was in the back sleeping. And the storm came up, and Jesus stood up in the boat after they woke him up. He said, Master, can't you see we're going to perish? And he just stood up, and what did he do? He spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the waves. When is the last time you spoke to a storm? Or did you ask God? That's just a question. That's just an example. How many storms have been turned away because you learned to speak to them? Not only a thunderstorm or a hurricane or a tropical storm, but what about a storm in your life? Something you've been dealing with for a really long time. You see, it's there. Sickness and disease. He spoke to the sickness. He spoke to the disease. And if what he told his disciples was true, that we would do the things that he did and greater things, then we need to do what he did. That's the pattern. He showed us, commissioned us, anointed us, empowered us, and says, now, you can do it too. See, if a church doesn't show any manifestations of Jesus' power, who would want to be there for very long? But you see, you're not like that. Take this with what you already know, and your life will become even more powerful in the Lord, and the things that you can see changed. He took authority over evil spirits, and he commanded them to come out. And remember, you don't have to shout at devils. You know why? It's not how loud you speak. It's what you speak and whose authority are you speaking it. That's what makes them leave. When you speak with the authority that God has given you, they'll go. He had power over death, and you say, oh, but that's Jesus. Well, I can tell you how close I've come to seeing something. The person wasn't dead, but they had been in a coma for 3 days with no hope of recovering. And this was in India too. And it was a young child. And I just commanded life to come back into that child. And his eyes just popped open and he began screeching and yelling like a little six-month-old baby would. That probably was very freaked out that suddenly something touched him and he woke up. And he was still in his mother's arms. I have pictures of that baby coming back to life, if you will. I've not seen a literal dead person come back. But I remember on a missions trip when my friend Fritz Ledwinka wanted to go to a hospital and go to the morgue and raise someone from the dead, and the hospital said, but you can't do that, they've already done the autopsy. And they wouldn't let him go. I think they were terrified of what would happen. Oh, when you start walking in this kind of authority and power, people are they're like, wow. It amazes them at the things that God will do through you. Why? Because you're exercising your dominion and authority, and He's in control of what you speak. But we have to set something, we have to give Him something to work with to maintain that. The authority over temptation. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the enemy came 3 times in that instance. And finally, he went away scratching his head and said, dang, can't even get him to jump off the building. And what did he say? It had to do with the word. When he spoke the word, that ran off the enemy. He was exercising dominion and authority. That's how powerful the word of God is. Learning to speak it at the right time, at the right moment, for the right situation. And learning the word, have a good working knowledge of it so that you can use that as a tool. How many times are you tempted to... Well, no, that's not a fair question. I suppose temptation comes many times in many ways every day to every one of us. And the power to stand against it is already within us. I've had people say, Lord, renew my mind. And I can almost hear God laughing, but He wouldn't. No, He's not going to renew your mind. Read Romans 12:2 again. And be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or demonstrate what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He doesn't rule your body. If God were in control, then we would be little clones and little puppets on the marionettes on the stick. God does this, you jump. God does that, you go. And everything that happens in your life is all forcibly controlled by God, and you have no choice in the matter. That's the ultra God is in control teaching. See, if you want to really understand where the middle ground is, you have to take that to its extreme to see how there's room for us to learn from that. If God is in control, then it's a cop-out in the sense for bad behavior, failures in life, and saying, well, God is in control. He is not going to make you pick up a pencil and write something. He is not going to physically remove you from doing something that He gave you the choice to do. This gets to the point where if you take it to its extreme, those are the kind of things that you're going to see that are going to be very hurtful. And they will harm you in the end, because there are a lot of things that happen and God had nothing to do with them. It's because we let our guard down. We left a door open someplace for the enemy to get through and do a work of destruction in our lives. But when you get a revelation, this is just a few words on a piece of paper in my notes, but when you get a revelation of the truth in this, it is really going to radically change how you think about a topic like this. It has to. You won't put up with sickness and disease anymore. You won't put up with seeing demonic activity because you'll do something about it. There are a lot of places where we have and others have seen palm readers and set up their little shops in town. And how many times, "Oh God, remove the evil from my town." Well, you already confessed a double. If it's your town and God's given you the land and he says, take dominion over it, subdue it, and occupy it until I come, well, why is the devil running rampant in our towns? Why are all these kids strung out on drugs? Why is there no work? These are just questions that I have. And we say, well, God's in control. So all kinds of people die and go to hell. God's in control. Their lives are being destroyed. God's in control. It doesn't make any sense if you take that doctrine to that extreme. But what I'm trying to do is bring balance back to it so that you see he's in control through his body. That's very different. It doesn't take away his control. It doesn't take away his sovereignty. But we really have to be careful and not let tragedies happen that he put us in authority over to do something about. And that's the part that I really wanted to bring clarity to, because every doctrine, if you take it to an extreme, it really works against God's will in our lives. You can take everything to an extreme. You can fast until you're dead. You're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water, but you can drink 25 until your stomach bursts. You know, there's always this side and that side, but God is a God of balance and he's a God of order, and there's a place where the two come together and they work together. So don't exclude the possibility of the importance of his word in learning to speak it and learning to exercise dominion and authority, and you will see God rule and reign more sovereignly in your life because you played by the rules. You played and used what he gave us to make it all work. So when you begin to speak his word over your situation, that's exercising dominion through your words. You remember when we did our words teaching? Words build up, words destroy. Words bring life, words bring death. If we speak words that are contrary to God's word, what does that do? That opens up the door for the enemy to take those words and wreak that into your life. It's flu season, I'll probably get it. Oh boy, don't you know that flu virus has just been waiting all summer to hear you say those words. He's just waiting to pounce on you. Oh, God's in control. See? No, not in that situation. Because the flu virus, you're inviting it yourself. You usurp God's authority. Speaking those kind of words, we usurp his authority. But when you speak in accordance with his word, you're speaking in his authority and in his power, and that, therefore, he is lord over, sovereign over, and he's in control over. But it takes us working with him and learning to do what he did, speak what he spoke, and we should get the same results. So if you can add this to what you already have learned, try it this week. Take an instance or a situation that you haven't seen any victory in yet, and just take these few minutes of what we've talked about today and begin applying that in that situation. And you will succeed. You will have success. Don't be, "Oh, I tried that once and it didn't work." Did you learn to swim the first time you jumped in the water? Did you learn to build a house the first time you picked up a hammer? Man, I'd be freaking out flying an airplane if the pilot never went to flight school and then I found out, oh crap, he was a plumber. You know, that'd be really bad. And it's the same with this. He's enabled us and he's empowered us. And indeed, he has given us that authority to exercise it. Just go use it in the name of Jesus. And so I know this is a Reader's Digest condensed version of a big topic, but there's certainly more than enough here for me even to be reminded again that there may be areas that I've not seen change and I want to see change and I have to be reminded too. Who wants prayer this morning?